Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhouseonline.com.au.
It's somewhat ironic to think that one of Jesus Christ's greatest teachings was do not judge. And yet, sadly, sometimes Christians, his followers, have a bit of a reputation for being judgmental. How's that come about? Actually, you know, if we open up the lens a bit, you've got to admit that all of us, whether we're Christian or not, judge a lot. We do. It's a very hard habit to overcome. In fact, according to Professor of Psychology Terry Cooper, I'm being judgmental right now simply by talking about this topic. Terry is the author of Making Judgments Without Being Judgmental, and he's with us on the line. Terry, welcome to Open House.
Well, thank you very much. It's good to be here.
I've sinned. I've already fallen short as soon as we've begun this conversation. You say, simply by talking about judgmentalism and basically judging it to be wrong, we're to some degree slipping into small j judgmentalism anyway, I guess,
right,
that particular person.
Yeah, I think that's true. And I think, you know, right off the bat, what I liked about what I heard you saying is that this is an issue in which we look at ourselves, too. It's very easy to find other people to be judgmental. In fact, I can become very judgmental about judgmental people.
Yeah.
And it's always nice that way because it keeps me from looking at myself. But the real challenge is to look at how I perpetuate judgmentalism in my own life. The way I like to put it is that it's real easy to throw stones at the stone throwers or to become judgmental of judgmental people. But when you do that, you're just really being, as they say, intolerant of intolerance, and you're perpetuating the cycle of abuse and kind of violent thinking, I think. I do think it's important, though, to make a distinction at the beginning, and that is the difference between making judgments, which I think we're all called to do, about specific things, behavior, certain ideas, and so on, and being judgmental, which is an attitude that we bring toward other people, which involves denouncing other people, being negative about their entire being, sort of putting other people down and this kind of thing. I think it's inevitable that we make judgments about certain behavior, particularly that may be hurtful and damaging and dysfunctional in life. But I think what we need to be very aware of is when we've gone beyond that and we're being judgmental about a person rather than just about their specific behavior.
Yeah.
And it's easy to cross that line.
Let's talk about that then. Why has there been, an attachment to some Christians as being judgmental? What do you think is the cause of that?
Well, I think some Christians believe that their primary job is to be the world's police. And that's really unfortunate. Again, it's one thing to be aware of specific things that are hurtful and to challenge those things and to see particular behavior that has unfortunate consequences in the world. But to feel as if it's your task to speak from kind of an authoritarian standpoint in which you have the truth and you own certainty and the rest of the world needs to hear what you've got to say, I think is a way of denying your limitations as a person. It lacks any sort of humility, really. And it forgets that we all, as St. Paul said, see through a glass darkly, that we all see from a limited perspective. When I get in my judgmental mode, I'm acting very self-righteously and acting as if I see from this eternal standpoint and I'm certain and I've got it all figured out, and therefore I can make these pronouncements toward other people. When I do that, I think that I'm forgetting my human limitations.
I think also Christians are called to be people of grace, but also people of truth. And I wonder whether we've just struggled sometimes because, I mean, the flip side of this, of course, is that Jesus also calls us to be discerning and to actually judge things, but just not to condemn people. We'll get that into that very, very soon. But I think that's where the seesaw swings either one way or the other. We find it hard to keep it balanced.
Right, exactly. You know, when you think about that sort of Christian admonition to speak the truth in love, it's important to remember both sides of that. To speak the truth, I mean, to really point out injustice in the world and unfair things in the world and things that are damaging to others, but also to do that in love. And when you don't have the justice part, then love gets pretty sappy. But if you don't have the love part, then the speaking against injustice can take on a very harsh and even violent quality.
And you, again, you go back to the person of Jesus himself, and the Gospel of John talks about him being full of grace and truth. He held both together.
Exactly.
Now, you make the point also in the book that, you know, judgmentalism is often portrayed as the specialty of the right-wing end or the conservative end of either religion or politics. And yet you say the liberal end, the left-wing end, can also be judgmental.
I believe that's true. You know, judgmentalism is a mentality, and it can wear many clothes. I mean, I do know people, and perhaps you do as well, who are on the far right and who are quite judgmental. But I also know people who are equally judgmental on the far left, and there's no real possibility of dialogue or discussion. They have things figured out. They like to stereotype or pigeonhole the so-called enemy. They have a tendency to denounce anything that they the people that they disagree with, rather than just the ideas that they disagree with.
You become so tolerant, you become intolerant, as you were mentioning before, about other people's ideas.
Yes.
This is Open House. Terry Cooper is with us, psychologist and author of Making Judgments Without Being Judgmental. We're exploring this tricky thing. If you're a follower of Jesus, you'd well know his phrase, you know, do not judge. You'll find it in the Gospel of Matthew and other places. Judge not, lest you be judged. At the same time, we've all got to discern right and wrong, and that's the tricky thing. 1-300-40-2020 is my number if you'd like to throw something into the conversation. Right, so here we are. You talk about seven big differences between making wise, healthy judgments and being judgmental. That's a key definitional difference. Wise, healthy judgments versus being judgmental. Now, let's explore those. I'll give you the phrase and you can unpack it. Number one, concern for others.
Yeah, I think that one of the things that we find in judgmentalism is an emphasis upon condemnation rather than real concern for others, which is, can be a part of making judgments. It's a good acid test kind of question for me to ask myself in my attitude toward other people. Is my primary point trying to help educate, trying to inform, helping to try to correct behavior, or is my primary purpose condemnation? Am I wanting to bring shame to the person, or am I hoping for healing within the person? And that becomes, I think, real crucial. And I think people who are on the receiving end of anything that we might say can detect fairly easily whether or not there's any concern or care in the comments.
Let me throw in a real hot-button issue here, because it's just as big in this country as it is for you in your country, but homosexuality. And so on the one hand, we have groups at one end that will be sounding very judgmental about, look, you know, the Bible is very clear. Homosexual activity is not to be condoned or encouraged. On the other hand, we've got some people who are saying, and Christians indeed as well, who are saying, we can't be judgmental, you know, we can't rule it out, etc. And I think from both sides, sometimes we're actually lacking this very, very thing that you've talked about here, concern for the other. It's all about, I guess, kind of a legalistic approach rather than a concern for the other person.
I think that's completely true. And I think one of the things that, maybe getting a little bit ahead of myself here, but one of the things that I think keeps me from being extremely judgmental toward others when I'm functioning well is that a familiarity with my own inadequacies, with my own insecurities, with my own darker sides that I need to learn to look at and embrace and accept. I don't know too many people who are truly self-accepting and really have explored themselves pretty thoroughly who end up being extremely judgmental toward others. Judgmental people, as a rule, keep the focus external. It's always on somebody else. You know, I'm always minding somebody else's business. I'm always, you know, trying to sweep off their doorstep rather than my own. And whenever I realize some of my own shortcomings, it's a little harder for me to be real critical and negative of others. And the other thing I think is for us to always try to keep in mind that beneath any kind of behavior, most of the time, is a wounded, hurting individual. It's easy to just look at the sometimes rather obnoxious behavior, to look at somebody and see them only from the standpoint of the surface. But you have to ask the question, I think, if you're going to think deeply about these things, what might be prompting that? What is underneath that? What kind of hurt, what kind of injury is going on underneath that that may be causing this person to act in a destructive and negative way?
Mm-hmm.
I think that, you know, when you look at the ministry of Jesus, you see someone who is a master at seeing the hurt and the woundedness beneath so much unfortunate behavior.
Yes.
But there was always that he was attentive toward that.
Very much so. 1-300-40-2020, if you've got something to add into the conversation. This is Open House Across the Nation. And Terry Cooper, psychologist and author of Making Judgments Without Being Judgmental, is with us. All right, that's concern for others. Your second point you say about making wise, healthy judgments versus being judgmental is trusting people's motives.
Yeah, I think that judgmental people often think that they're able to read hidden motives in people. They don't give anybody the benefit of the doubt. They assume ahead of time they know why someone did something, whereas in fact, I think that they often are wrong about that. And there are times in our lives in which we certainly need to give people the benefit of the doubt or be slow to assume the worst about them.
How does that fit with, say, the Christian understanding that we're all fallen, you know, that we're all sullied, that there is something within us right from birth that actually distorts our decisions and our motives from the beginning?
Yeah, I think that an unfortunate view of fallenness has sometimes crept into Christianity, which basically says that we are as bad as we could possibly be. And we get a view of sort of total depravity that leaves us absolutely horrible as people, as, you know, everything, every impulse we have, every thought we have, you know, it just kind of bubbles some sort of basic evil inclination. And that's really an unfortunate thing. I think that a better understanding of fallenness is that we all have a tendency at times to be a little turned in on ourselves, to be a little more preoccupied with ourselves and our own security than we really need to be. And most of that is tied up with a refusal or an inability to trust God, that there is a source that's larger than I am, that is available for guidance and help and support, and that it's not all up to me. But I think my understanding of a kind of fallenness is that tendency to over-rely upon myself rather than trusting in God and sources of grace that I can see in others around me.
Mm. Okay, your third point on making judgments without being judgmental, you say just be tolerant of difference.
Yeah, right. I think one of the most important things for us to look at when it comes to our own level of health is how we handle differences between ourselves and others. Because I think that, you know, when differences with others trigger our insecurity, then we feel a need to dominate them and control them and turn them into exactly what we are. I think differences always challenge us a little bit when we bump into them. I think that whenever we fall prey to judgmentalism, it's usually because we just can't stand the idea that someone has a different perspective or a different kind of inclination than what we have, and we somehow need to, that in and of itself challenges us so much that we've got to convert them into what we are in terms of every aspect of our thinking, every aspect of our being.
Mm, this fourth point you put here, you've already touched on a little bit before, but it's so important. You've got to separate behavior from people. You're talking, we need to judge actions rather than people, don't we?
Yes, exactly. That's a good way to put it, yeah. And it's again, it's so easy to cross that line, you know. And I think we even do that with ourselves a lot. I can't tell you the number of times that I'll hear people, instead of saying something like, you know, I really should have spent more time with my daughter last night, they'll say things like, I'm a lousy parent, which is a very self-judgmental comment. Or, you know, I was late for that meeting at work. Well, I'm totally irresponsible. Mm. In other words, the judgmental statement is always exaggerated. It has a tendency to be full of shame. It's more than specific behavior. Judgment is more modest. It looks at behavior and says, I need to work on that. There's something I need to do about that. Judgmentalism has more of this sense of shame. It indicts our entire being or indicts somebody else's entire being.
Mm-hmm. That's important, isn't it? That notion of shame. When you have moved from judging something to judging a person, yes, you're moving into shaming a person. Or indeed, as you mentioned there, shaming yourself.
Right, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Key point number five. Making judgments without being judgmental includes having conviction, yet being open to other perspectives.
Yeah. I think that I can be fully committed to my own viewpoint while always recognizing that there may be something I'm missing. There may be something that, you know, I need to see from a larger perspective. And I'm always in need of someone else's perspective. To me, the height of arrogance, even though it's usually based on insecurity, but the height of arrogance is to say that the way I see it is exactly the way it is. You know, I sort of own reality between my ears, and I don't need anybody else's help. I see the full puzzle without any need for any other, you know, perspective to get a better understanding of it.
Mm.
And that's always problematic when you once again claim, because that's almost claiming to be God. It's claiming that I so understand life that I don't need anybody else's help. And
yes.
I think we always need other people's help.
Yes, I think that's great. And I'm glad you've got both of those points there together. Has conviction, yet open to other perspectives. Because if you don't have conviction, well, then you also... who was it? I think it was William Barclay that said, you know, it's fine to have an open mind, but not a mind that is open at both ends.
That's exactly right. That's right. Absolutely.
You've got to make a stand on some things.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
But do it in a loving way that it's still said, well, look, you know, I might just be wrong. So tell me what you think. Tell me how this comes across to you. Number six is making these good kinds of judgments allows time for well-thought-out decisions.
You know, one of the things that is so easy to do in life, and again, it's because most of us have some anxiety and insecurity, so we're always tempted to make snap decisions, you know, to make snap judgments that don't really take into consideration, you know, the full range of information. And how many times do we say, you know, oh, gosh, I spoke too quickly, and sometimes later you'll find out more information and be quite embarrassed about some of the immediate judgments that you made.
Mm-hmm.
So that can become, you know, very much of a problem.
Mm. That leads to your final point, the seventh point. About somebody who judges without being judgmental, they're a person who is unafraid to make decisions. You actually have to make a decision in the end.
That's right. And I think there are some people who would rather remain indecisive because they don't want to take a stand. They don't want to have the courage that it takes to say, you know, I could spend my entire life forever wondering, but I've got to, at one point or another, say this is where I stand. This is where I want to live my life. This is what I'm all about. This is what I believe. And I think we're all called as human beings to do that. It is interesting. The psychotherapist Viktor Frankl used to say that that death is something in life that forces us to have to make decisions, because if there were no such thing as death, we could postpone everything indefinitely. But
true.
Knowing that there's that deadline out there, there's that sense of accountability for our lives, we have to make decisions about how we're going to spend our time, what's important to us, where our values are. And So to be without any kind of conviction at all, I think, is to be less than human.
Yeah. You're listening to Open House. Terry Cooper is the author of Making Judgments Without Being Judgmental. 1-300-40-2020 is my number. Openhouseonline.com.au for the podcast. All right, well, let's wrap up then with just some pointers, Terry, on those of us who just so easily find ourselves falling into not good judgments, not making good judgments and having convictions, but judgmentalism, starting to so easily judge people and shame people, actually. What can we do to start divesting ourselves of what is actually a vice, a sin?
Well, I think the one thing I want to come back to is the idea of having a regular inventory of yourself going, so that you're able to look at how so much of the time somebody may be doing something or saying something around you that really is reminding you of some aspect of yourself that you're not fully owning and admitting. So, I mean, a familiarity with self, I think, helps keep us from being very judgmental and taking everybody else's inventory all the time. That's important. I also think it's important to realize that so much of the time that when we are being judgmental, we often feel anxious or insecure at some level. And so by making a pronouncement, by somehow or another making a condemnation of other people, not just behavior, but other people, we're somehow feeling like we are in control. And a lot of times that's a very false sense of control. And so, again, looking at our own insecurity and our own anxiety. The other thing is really working on a regular basis at the difference between reacting and responding. And I think this is something that, once again, Jesus was a master at. I mean, Jesus responded to those around him. His thoughts, his behavior came from a centered place within him, rather than just allowing everybody around him to push his buttons. Judgmental people are always allowing other people to push their buttons. They're in reaction most of the time to other people's behavior. But insofar as that they're in reaction, other people are controlling them. At one level or another. So being able to respond to life rather than reacting to life is going to be, I think, another thing that's very important.
Yeah, and also being in a good community of people. You know, I've got a wonderful church, but also a wonderful Friday night home groups that I'm a part of. And, boy, it's just so healthy to be part of a group who you really can share your whole life with, and that'll help you not to be too judgmental, because that leads to the first point that you mentioned there about taking an honest self-assessment. You recognize,
right.
Yeah, I've got some stuff to deal with, and so is everybody else, and so we just basically gather in together and pray for each other.
Absolutely, and I think a community of grace, you know, that can really support each other, that brings us to a deeper level of acceptance, because quite frankly, there are times in which my sense of self-rejection, my sense of internal condemnation may be too much for me in isolation. But as I link myself to the support and the care and the love of a community of faith, I borrow their hope sometimes. I borrow their sense of purpose and meaning, and can find that nourishes me in the process. I mean, fixing your judgmentalism is not something that you do in isolation. I mean, you do it as a result of regularly feeling connected and supported by other people who help us become more self-accepting in the long run.
And I can't get away from the idea that, you know, the character of God needs to be brought into this as well, that, you know, God is, yes, he's a God of justice and a God who very much knows right from wrong, black from white, very much knows the where the line is drawn, but also is a God of mercy and grace, and again, embodied in that person of Jesus, who is both grace and truth. That's been the key thing for me, I think, is this person that, as a Christian, I'm called to follow, and indeed, empowers me to live out, not just simply to follow his model, but empowers me to live out his lifestyle, is a person of both grace and truth, not one without the other.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. I mean, in a sense, the whole book that I've written here is one long elaboration of one of my favorite stories in the Gospels, in which, you know, the woman was brought before Jesus, thrown down on the ground, and she was about to be stoned to death because she was caught in the act of adultery. And in that particular culture, that warranted stoning. one can say, where was the man in this process, and so on.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's really easy to look at this. I mean, here's Jesus writing in the sand and so on. All these people are putting him to the test, saying, shouldn't we go ahead and stone this woman? And one thing that's always been interesting to me is that he's not really making eye contact with her, which in that culture would have brought far more shame to stare at her for, you know, particularly the predicament that she'd been caught in.
Hmm.
So, you know, the invitation to these folks to, you know, if you are without sin, go ahead. You know, let the first person who is without sin throw the first stone. And, of course, the invitation was to look back at yourself, and immediately the stones go down and people rather sheepishly walk away. And I think that's the key to all this.
Yes.
And yet, you know, Jesus didn't minimize what the woman had done. He essentially said to her, look, you're better than this. You're more than this. You know, go and sin no more. But I don't condemn you. And so that's a very powerful kind of thing. I think when we experience that kind of grace, then it transforms us into a desire to live a better life, to live a more full life.
Mm. You've tackled a very important topic in this book, and I really appreciate you for doing that and coming on the show and telling us about it. Thanks, Terry.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure.
Yeah, Terry Cooper. His book is Making Judgments Without Being Judgmental, Nurturing a Clear Mind and a Generous Heart.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology. To hear more from Open House, visit openhouseonline.com.au.